I'm sure you noticed that our Bible readings this morning were from the ESV. We're going to begin using that translation this morning. And we come to the last in our series of studies in Peter's first letter, the letter that describes Christian believers as strangers in the world. And through some kind of coincidence, certainly not planned by me, the last chapter of 1 Peter was where I turned for the first Sunday of the coronavirus lockdown, as we heard particularly the words of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, about casting all our anxieties on God because he cares for us. Simple but really important words for us to hear at this time. Well, here we are again at what we are hoping will be the end, or at least the beginning of the end, of those restrictions, and I hope you don't mind some repetition of the important things we heard some 17 weeks ago. I don't believe it will do us any harm. I have found 1 Peter to be a very important part of the Bible to be hearing today. As I've prepared each week, or at least most weeks, I have found God's Word illuminating what life is like, really, for a Christian believer today, how hard it actually can be. But more than that, why it is hard, and even more important than that, why it is more than worth it. Well, now we come to the last chapter of this letter, written to Christians who are finding that the world in which they live has become foreign territory, even hostile territory, because they are Christian believers. And we will see in this last chapter that Peter has one of the most powerful ways yet of describing why being a Christian is tough, even dangerous, for us strangers in the world. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Christians are pictured as sheep. You see verse 2, the phrase, the flock of God. This is an idea that Peter used back in chapter 2, verse 25. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now that way of speaking is not particularly flattering. Sheep, what do you think of? Silly sheep, wandering, defenseless, vulnerable animals, sheep. Who want to be a sheep? But what if a lion was about? I reckon if I lived in lion territory, just about the last thing in the world I'd want to be is a sheep. Yeah? But here is Peter's picture of life for us Christian believers in this last chapter of his letter. We are God's flock and, look down to verse 8, your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's not just that it's hard to be a Christian because the world in which we live is profoundly opposed to the one we love and follow. That's true. But even more than that, we have a fearful enemy, an adversary, the devil. Just listen to that description again in verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. How does the devil devour Christians? Well, by dragging them away from Christ. How does the devil do that? Well, one way that is very much in Peter's mind in this letter is through suffering. As suffering comes our way, all kinds of suffering, really, but particularly when it is suffering because we are Christian believers, the devil will be ever so anxious to see us respond wrongly, rather than moving towards Christ, he would love to see us move away from Christ. And that is why there is so much teaching in this letter about how to respond to the hardships that come our way as Christian believers. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter wants us to understand ourselves as sheep in lion's territory. That's a very insightful and true picture of how things are. Well, what do you think that Peter will say to sheep in lion's territory? What do we sheep need to hear to keep us safe from the lion? Well, the first thing I'd like us to notice in chapter 5 is this. We're in this together. I've missed the point of the sheep picture if I simply think of myself as a sheep. No, we are a flock of sheep. Verse 2, the flock of God. And we Christians actually meet together, as we will do for real next week, for that reason. Through these months, we've done all that we can to stay connected for this reason. And friends, we are very silly sheep if we think that we can survive in lion territory on our own. And most of 1 Peter chapter 5 then turns out to be about how the flock should work together so that the sheep will be safe. Peter has a word to say to really, the way in which I look at it is three groups of people. First, in verses 1 to 4, he speaks to what he calls, you see in verse 1 there, the elders among you. The elders among you. The word elders means what it says. It means older people. People who've had more birthdays. Elders means older people. That's what the word means. I don't think he's speaking here just to people who hold an official position. You know, in some churches you have a position called elder. Well, Peter, I don't think he's using the word like that. Now, verse 1 means, so I exhort the older people among you. Here is a word to the older sheep among God's flock. And by the time Peter was writing this, he himself was an older person. And so verse 1 goes like this. So I exhort the older people among you as a fellow older person and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Peter is an older person who knows what he's talking about. A major theme of Peter's letter has been how suffering now, all kinds of suffering, but particularly the suffering that comes because you're a believer, suffering now must be seen in the light of glory to come because we know Jesus, whose suffering was followed by glory. And Peter, of course, actually saw these things. He was there. He saw Jesus die on the cross with his own eyes. He saw Jesus gloriously raised from the dead with his own eyes. And now he too is an older person among God's people. And Peter wants the older people to understand their responsibility. See it in verse 2? Shepherd, older people, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Sometimes we older people in churches are tempted to think that church is there to look after us. Of course, there is a wonderful truth in that, and I hope it is your experience that the family of God's people is there for you. But If you are one of the older sheep, our concern ought to be for the flock, not for ourselves. Like a shepherd, you see. It's a lovely picture, really. The older sheep are to be the shepherds. And we older people must learn to ask, what is best for the sheep, rather than what is best for me? And sometimes we older people tend to forget that. This word applies to those among us who have formal responsibilities, whether it is members of the ministry staff or wardens or leadership team or discipleship group leaders or kids teachers or youth leaders and so on and so on and so on. But I'm quite sure that it's right to apply it more generally. Acknowledging that older people is a relative category, and you might find yourself an older person in one context and a younger person in another context, but a good number of us here certainly are in that category, indisputably. I don't find myself in many groups these days when I'm one of the younger people. But as an older person among God's people, do not take the responsibility that is yours lightly. Being an older person among God's people brings a responsibility. Shepherd the flock of God. Not your flock, God's flock. Care about God's flock. And Peter uses the words exercising oversight. In the original language, certainly this is a lovely expression. It's not about being bossy. It's certainly not about being selfish. But as you are able, older person, watch out for the flock. Keep an eye on the younger sheep, as well as on other older sheep. As far as you can, take an interest in the whole flock. Not to criticize, not to patronize, not to be grumpy, but to care. Now, older people among us, let's hear this well. Beware of the temptations that our position as older people brings. Peter mentions three temptations to be aware of here. First, he says, still in verse 2, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Don't be one of those people who grudgingly puts up with others just because it's your duty or because somehow it's forced on you. Care gladly. God's flock needs caring shepherds, preferably lots of them. And it really should be, and it can be, a joy to care for God's flock. Second, he says, we're still in verse 2, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Don't take advantage of your position as an older person to benefit yourself. We must not think, we older people, must not think that being an older person among God's people is a kind of status. We haven't earned the right to have our own way, to be demanding. Our years of service do not mean that church now owes us. You do hear that kind of thinking from time to time. But it doesn't work like that in God's flock. We follow Jesus, remember, who had more right than anyone to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Older people, as we have opportunity, as we can manage it, we are to be eager to care for the flock. Well, thirdly, verse 3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. It is such a temptation to us older people to be bossy. I'm speaking for myself, perhaps. But to lay down the law, after all, we know best, don't we? But you know, being bossy is easy. We older people have been given a harder job than that. Be examples to the flock. Examples of what? Well, examples of goodness. Examples of unselfishness. Examples of caring more for others than for ourselves. In other words, examples of the holiness that Peter spoke about in the first chapter of this letter. You might like to take a little bit of homework and reread 1 Peter chapter 1. I think that we older people need to hear this, don't you? It is our responsibility to be examples of Christian character and behaviour, particularly for the younger sheep. I wonder whether one of the implications of this is that older sheep and younger sheep should not cut themselves off from one another, as we sometimes do in the way in which we hold church. I know there are practicalities to be considered, and I'm not proposing any particular changes, and we can only do what we can do and all that kind of thing. But it is less than ideal for God's flock to divide along age lines. Why do we do that? Well, Peter provides a very powerful motivation for us older people to behave in the way that he's been describing, even if, and let's admit it, it's not natural for older people to behave like that. But he says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, that'll be a day, won't it? When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. How about that? Friends, older people like this, as Peter has been describing, are what God's flock needs. Frankly, older people like this are what St. Thomas's Church, North Sydney, needs. I'm not, of course, suggesting that we do not have such people. We wonderfully do. But, my fellow older people, this is what our chief shepherd expects of all of us. Now, a briefer word to another group. Verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, the older people. What's he speaking about here? Who's he speaking about? He's certainly not just thinking about the youth group. Younger, like older, is a relative term. In Peter's world, I understand, a 40-year-old could be thought of as young. And of course, in any group, if you're not one of the older people, you're one of the younger people. And depending on the group you're in, you might move from one to the other. But younger people, in this broad sense, have a problem that can weaken God's flock, just as older people have their temptations. And it's when the younger people don't want to take any notice of the older people. What would they know? What would they know? And Peter rather bluntly says, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Now, the original, and in the context of New Testament thinking, is not actually as harsh as that sounds in English. We're not talking about older people being bossy. We're not talking about older people being selfish or uncaring. But when older people care, when they are examples of godliness, when they are eager to serve, then younger people, in this broad sense, don't ignore them. Don't think you've got nothing to learn. respect such older people. Honour them. Take their love for you seriously. Recognise that you need the care and wisdom of older people. Verse 5 does not mean that younger people must be subservient to older people. It does not mean that older people are always right. It's not saying anything like that. But it does mean that those who are younger must welcome the love, the care, the example of those who are older. Well, Peter now has a word to what he calls all of you, younger people and older people. And he draws our attention to three dangers that can, if they get their way, tear God's flock to pieces. The first one is pride. Look at verse 5, middle of verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. Whether you're older or whether you're younger, humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in the proper time he may exalt you. I wonder, are there pride issues among us? Is it really our pride that makes it hard for us to hear and take seriously what we're hearing now from 1 Peter chapter 5? Do some of us who are older think rather too highly of ourselves? Do some who are younger think rather too highly of themselves? In God's flock, dear friends, pride is a cancer. Its cure is humility towards one another. And the secret to that is to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Don't let pride stop us from being a healthy flock. The second danger is anxiety. Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. One of the reasons we care more about ourselves than others is our own insecurity. How good it is to have a chief shepherd who really does care for us. And the secret is to cast your anxieties on him. Trust him with those things that make you insecure. He cares for you. Let's not let our insecurities stop us from being a healthy flock. Well, what then are we to do about the devil, who longs for our pride and our insecurities to weaken the flock, who tempts us to ignore the word that we are hearing this morning? Well, verse 8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. What a coward the devil is. Resist him, and he will do you no harm. But we must resist him. Well, fellow sheep, how good is it to belong to this flock, God's flock. As we hear this searching word for all of us, do not forget that God himself is caring for his flock. Look at our last couple of verses, verses 10 and 11. After you have suffered a little while, that's what life is going to be like. It's going to involve suffering for a little while. The God of all grace, that's what he's like, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen indeed. How good is that? Shall we pray together? Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of belonging to your flock. And we thank you for the ways we've been thinking about this morning. Some of them just seem a little bit trivial, but they're not. We thank you for the ways in which we are learning that your flock can be healthy and strong. And within this flock, we can learn to live as strangers in this world, to be safe, to be strong, not to be harmed, not to be devoured, not to be dragged away from Christ. But as we learnt earlier in this letter, to be prepared to give an answer for the hope for which we live. We pray that the many things we have learnt as we worked our way through 1 Peter, we pray, O Heavenly Father, that these things would be impressed on our hearts and minds and would bring fruit in the lives we live and in the flock that we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.